Roadside Attraction, March 8th, 2020. Frank Zappa said, writing about music is like dancing about architecture.
Attention tourists and travelers, you are approaching the event Horizon at Roadside Attraction Live. We've got stories and songs, thought experiments, a giant ball of twine, ancient footprints, a haunted corridor, and a 2,000-pound groundhog. We're located at roughly the midpoint on the dissipation protocol, and you can also find us in the same place on the return road after the bounce of intense. I'm the voice of the 2,000-pound groundhog. Here again is our guide and companion on the creative bounce, Mark Jeffers. And by the way, Mark, it was Miles Davis who said writing about music is like dancing about architecture.
Welcome to Roadside Attraction. Step right up. Everyone's a winner. Bargains galore.
Tom Waits said that.
Why do you think I don't know that?
Well, you seemed confused on the source of that quote about writing and music and dancing and architecture.
No, I wasn't. Not at all. It's TMI. Too much information. I know it's also attributed to Miles Davis. I suppose the important question is, who said it first?
No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter who said it first. What matters is who said it best. And since they both said the same thing, the answer has to be that Miles said it best.
Yeah, well, agreed. But FYI, it's also been attributed to Thelonious Monk and Martin Mull. But those Zappa people can get pretty strident if they think you've slighted Frank. So I went with Zappa.
Good call. Miles Davis people are too cool to care about that stupid crap anyway.
Oh my God, more misogynistic bullshit. Laurie Anderson also said the very same thing.
Yeah, but did she say it better than Miles?
She said it pretty damn good.
All right then, let's Google it. And while we're doing that, here's Mini Bingo.
The mystery man came over and he said, I'm out of sight. He said, for a nominal service charge, I could reach Nirvana tonight. If I was ready, willing, and able to pay him his regular fee, he would drop all the rest of his present affairs and devote his attention to me. But I said, look here, brother, who you jiving with that cosmic debris? Look here, brother, don't waste your time on me. The mystery man got nervous and he fidget around a bit. He reached in the pocket of his mystery robe and he pulled out a shaving kit. Well, I thought it was a razor and a can of foaming goo. But he said right then when the top popped open, there was nothing his box won't do. With the oil of Aphrodite and the dust of the Grand Wazoo, he said, you might not believe this little fella, but it'll cure your asthma too. And I said, look here, brother, who you jiving with that cosmic debris? Look here, brother, don't waste your time on me. Don't waste your time, baby. I've got troubles of my own, I said, and you can't help me out. So take your meditation and your preparation and ram it up your snout.
What? I got the crystal ball,
he said, and held it to the light. So I snatched it all away from him, and I showed him how to do it right. Wrapped a newspaper around my hair so I looked like I was deep. I said some mumble jumble then, told him he was going to sleep. I robbed his rings, pocket watch, everything else I found. I had the sucker hypnotized, I couldn't even make a sound. Well, I proceeded to tell him his future then. Long as I was hanging around, I said, the price of meat has just gone up, and your old lady has just gone down. Look here, brother, who you jiving with that cosmic debris? Look here, brother, don't waste your time on me.
Mini bingo, everybody. I'd like to introduce the singer, Matt Bianski. Matt, who'd you bring with you tonight?
Tonight we got Mr. Red Bumgarner on guitar here. Woo-hoo! And we also got Windsor on the acoustic guitar. Yeah. And Marcia on the bass.
Yeah.
Don on the Don kit. It's not just Don, it's the Don kit.
The Don kit.
The Don kit. And Mr. Eric Reith on the Eric kit over there, man. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. That was wonderful. So, you know, as far as the line we were discussing earlier, this is disturbing. Google doesn't know who said writing about music is like dancing about architecture. Google doesn't know.
What? What?
Well, it was inevitable that we would arrive at a place where Google doesn't know. After all, too many things are true. I just thought it would take longer, but oh well. How about a little traveling music?
You're listening to Roadside Attraction Live, brought to you by The Future Works, a tech startup founded recently enough that a hopeful idea like that did not seem laughable. And by...
Well, ding dang dog, and mixed feelings of thrills and embarrassment. Hello again from the packing plant by the river. I'm Demogene, and I'm touting our talking point, and that is, as you know, let's make America eat meat again. You know, I'm not only the chief spokesman and namesake of this fine company, Demogene Products, I have recently had the wonderful opportunity to address an audience of millions of TV news-watching Americans. God love them, they are dumb. So I am well on my way to becoming a household name. See, what happened was this. I was just working away last week, poke prodding incoming cattle, an electric prod, and my thoughts just naturally wandered off the way they always do when I work my prod. So I got to thinking about that skinny redhead, Skinny Louise, and I got started on my favorite recurring daydream having to do with soft flickering lights and cheap wine and cowboy boots. When all of a sudden there was a bright light shining in my eyes and a TV news camera pointed at me like a cattle prod, and one of them famous news guys from a TV news magazine show was there saying, "We're doing a report on the meatpacking and inspection business, and we'd like to ask you a few questions, Demogene." Well, I offered nicely to take them on a tour of the facility. And them being muckraking journalists, they were naturally interested in finding some muck, which sure ain't hard to do down here at Demogene Products. They was mostly interested in exposing our traditional system for disposal of waste products. And even though they claimed to be impressed by the way we turned a significant portion of our biological waste into popular junk food products, they spent most of their time taking pictures of the drains and dump tubes that carry goop out to the river. That one most famous reporter guy stood there and made some faces like he was gagging. And he said something about, and this is a quote now, "A primordial soup of liquid waste, known biological hazards, and uncounted bacterial pathogens." Well, that show was on TV last night. They showed my picture, and there I was, scratching my butt and looking dumb on national television. But hey, they make sure everybody on that show looks dumb except the news guy. But then they said my name, Demogene. And as every politician knows, name recognition is the only thing that matters. And I not only got a great big pile of name recognition, I also got a great idea for a brand new product line, and this is it. Demogene's Primordial Soup. Yes, sir, we just scoop that stuff right off the drains and put it in a glass jar and slap a label on it and let the TV news do our advertising for us. Now, the bad news is that EPA and the FDA and CDC and the Surgeon General and all them other tax waste and government agencies have already got after us down here at Demogene Products, and they're requiring us to put another label on our primordial soup product that warns people not to eat it. Well, that's okay. You wouldn't want to eat it anyway. You wouldn't like the way it looked or tasted or smelled, and there wouldn't be any repeat business. But we do think it has a real market potential as a coffee table conversation piece. We've been looking for a way to get our share of the politically correct vegetarian market, and this might just be our ticket. They seem to really like to be disgusted, you know. And this primordial soup really delivers on that front. So next time you're looking for some food for thought, step on out to the packing plant. Come to the back door. Come to the killing floor. Ask for Demogene. And hey, we all started out as primordial soup anyway. Why not have some on your coffee table tonight? Yeah.
Primordial soup in a jar makes an excellent conversation piece when used as a gorilla sculpture or desktop paperweight, and may also have excellent efficacy as a bioweapon. Do not mail it to your enemy in a plain box mailed from a location at least 200 miles from your home. Don't place it behind the rear wheel on the passenger side of your enemy's parked car. Don't smash it in the posh lobby of a corporate greed headquarters and then run like hell. In the event that the seal on the jar is broken, run like hell. Primordial soup is not a food. Demogene Products is not responsible.
Oh, man. Now, folks, earlier we made a reference to the dissipation protocol. Now, it's a brand new exhibit here at the Roadside Attraction. It's always been here, but up until now, it wasn't on exhibit. It started out, like everything else, as an idea. And then over time, it began to dissipate. And eventually, it became light. Now, very broad spectrum at first, and then slowly, it was just visible light, something we could see. Now, then, as it slowed down more, it became sound. Music at first, of course, and then words, then just noise. And as it slowed even more, it became solid. It became life. Life in many forms. And then, following the dissipation protocol, it became stuff. Rocks and dirt, mostly. And then, traversed the range of possibilities for an idea, it hit bottom. Nonsense, you say. See and hear for yourself. Now, admission is free for people who demonstrate curiosity. And here is Debbie DeCassio.
Yay, thank you. That was great. Thank you. Incompetent. Incoherent. don't think I can do. Responsibilities right now. I don't seem to care. Can't think clear. Won't move muscles. Irresponsible. Can't think. Can't talk. Can't do. Can't move. Two bodies. One's getting it done. And one's not. Both are one. Move. Move. Competent. Incoherent. Don't think I can do. Responsibilities right now. I don't seem to care. Can't think clear. Won't move muscles. Irresponsible. Can't think. Can't talk. Can't do. Can't move. Two bodies. One's getting it done. And one's not. Both are one.
Debbie DeCascio, everybody. Debbie.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Tell us a little bit about that song you just played.
I wrote it a long time ago, feeling overwhelmed about a lot of things in life. Not like now, of course.
Of course.
That was back in the day. And just, you know, wrote it. I write stuff down, and it's like, you know, that really is how I felt for a while. I felt like I just couldn't move, and something's getting it done, something's not.
Yeah.
Put some music to it, and I thought, nobody's ever going to want to hear this song, but here it goes.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody wants to hear it, so that's great.
That's great. Yeah, that's the point of art, right?
Yeah.
Just express how you feel. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, everybody. Debbie.
Thank you.
All right, how about a little traveling music, boys? All right, everybody, please welcome our poet, Bill Mooney.
Debbie, you look lovely tonight. You really do. And that was out there. I guess I should try to explain this poem, but I think it is a little bit like dancing about architecture. But in any case, following your lead, back in the day when I was a scout out on the frontier of consciousness, I took some ill advice from Carlos Castaneda and Don Juan and decided to see where the Jimson Weed Trail went. And I ended up in the land of the fly people. Apparently low gravity, because these were some big flies. But in any case, this poem isn't about that. It's called The Fly. The fly flies by, the curving swerve too quick for the muscles of my eyes, more often unseen between the focus of eye and eye and what I see. I miss the in-between, unseen the clutter of my days, laid open to the ways of perception as flies fly by, then blue sky within my missed reflection. Thank you.
Bill Mooney, everybody.
RoadsideAttractionLive.com sits on a server somewhere. Several of them, actually. Like all things on the internet, it will never go away. Oh, but it will go away. Scott won't pay for the server fee sometime, and it will all be erased. Or there will be some sort of general outage, or the technology will change and make it obsolete. A paperback book or a printed photograph is much more permanent. But for now, you can hear and see older episodes at RoadsideAttractionLive.com. Think of it as a cave painting.
All right, so the dissipation protocol is not the whole story, because at the thing level, the level of things, there's also an aspiration protocol, which says that all things aspire to be like the thing above it. Okay, so the moon wants to be like the earth. Now, the earth wants to be like the sun, so it has a moon. Now, the sun wants to be like a galaxy, so it has planets. So, once the idea was reduced to stone, it began moving from stone back to light and beyond. Here we are then. When cut stone assembled into a building is infused with the desire to dance. We didn't just leave that silly show title hanging. We are dancing about architecture. Boom. Now, if you've ever stood on top of a hill and looked down into a valley of tall grass and trees and then seen a gust of wind move through it and set it all in motion, the notion of thing dancing makes plenty of sense. That's not hard to imagine, that landscape calling out, sending an invitation. Now build a city here, it says. Windsor Knotts is sitting by a stream down there. And let's listen to the wind carry his song.
I'm gonna play an old song for everybody. It's made famous, as far as famous goes, by the Woody Brothers back in the 1930s. And I think you all catch on to the chorus, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd sing it along with me. It's a beautiful song filled with beautiful sentiments. It's called "Likes Liquor Better Than Me." Oh, I'm in love with a brown-eyed girl, and she's in love with me. But she's in love with a whiskey jug, likes liquor better than me. Here's the chorus. Oh, bring me back my brown-eyed girl. Oh, bring her back to me. Oh, bring me back my brown-eyed girl, likes liquor better than me. Sometimes I went to see her. Last night she smiled on me, but tonight she smiles on a whiskey jug, likes liquor better than me. Oh, bring me back my brown-eyed girl. Oh, bring her back to me. Oh, bring
Brother Matthew.
Thank you, Windsor Knotts. Everybody, one more time.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll end this roadside attraction with a chapter from Scott Millsap's novel In Progress, The Last Summer Ball at the Cosmos.
Hey, Annie, will you share a sidewalk table with me on this lovely day?
Sure, Hank. Break time.
Rascal sends his regards. I saw him as we were leaving the bar. He's a top shelf guy. He was hiding behind that bottle of Calvados. $50 a shot. Little sucker has good taste.
Well, he's in love with me, Hank. The way he looks at me takes my breath away.
Like I said, he's a top shelf guy. But, well, he's a mouse. A mouse can't be in love with you.
Didn't you ever have a dog?
Yeah, I got a blue tick hound now.
Oh, those are great dogs. And don't you love him?
Well, yeah, I do.
Doesn't he love you?
I think he does.
Well, look, a dog is a mammal. So are you. So is Rascal. Why would you imagine he isn't capable of love? I can feel when he's looking at me. I share his wave.
Okay. Hey, over there. One-man band guy. Yeah, yeah. I told you about him, the giant. It's Amazing Gary. He's a street musician. Come on.
Makes sense. This corner outside the hotel is a prime spot for buskers. Busy place. I hear a train. It must be 6 o'clock. Hey, Gary, play a train song.
Two blocks north, heading west out of the city, there is a place where the train tracks sing the blues, straining and reaching for a high, clear note that resolves the cacophony of aimless urban stop and go, with a soul-shaking howl that finds its own harmonic echoing in the concrete canyons and sings loud into the city night. Crack the mortar of old buildings and vibrates the transparent walls of the high rises, bending the very light that passes through the windows. Dance music for light and stone. This music is. It arrives in the belly, you hear it with your bones. No horse hair on cat gut here. It is steel on steel and a tight turn, accelerating out of here, howling out into the big sky night, running swift and easy out into the open land where greater spirits still inhabit the landscape, whistling sweet aerodynamics, chanting in a hydraulic drawl. You can hear the diesels inhale, and then they sing in a growl, and the song goes like this. Here I come, here I come, you will stop for me. Cities and towns will stop for me. I will cross your every street, and I will blow one note with a depth and urgency that will interrupt your errands, change your schedule, make you late. I will make you wait. You will watch and listen as I pass, saying, here I am now, oblivious to your little curses. I am a friend to loneliness, a traveling through your mean streets, a companion to the weather that moves through mountain passes. You will wait, and I will sing because it pleases me, because it is my nature to sing the song that was given to me by men whose sweeping vision and aspiration to freedom dwarf your detailed ambitions to control. Men who created the world you know with blood, sweat, and mathematics, dynamite and manslaughter, genius and greed and grand intentions. I will go on singing. I will go and you will stay. That's how the song goes. Train song, man song, song of strong men whose thick arms and powerful thirst have disappeared into disquiet. They left us the song with a clackety-clackety beat, the amplified drone and the urgent warning one-note refrain, the note we listened to for in Birdland, the Red Dog Saloon, the Fillmore, Madam Wong's, and the Yellow Cab. But it isn't there now. It's here now, where the tracks leaving the warehouses cross 4th Street, sung now by a visiting village peopled with laughing, sightseeing, song-singing travelers. But it won't stay. It will howl a moment on the curve, and then this train song will move on.
Little travel music, I think. Yeah. Just ahead is the exhibit marked Egress. It's a trick we learned from P.T. Barnum. Now don't be fooled. Stick around. Have a beer. If you have to write something, do it later. Writing about music is like dancing about architecture.
Cab Tavern for hosting the IRL version of Roadside Attraction. Yellow Cab is a gift to our troubled times from Mark Jeffers and Tara Moore. Mark is also our host. Don't miss Showcase Thursdays here. It's a singer-songwriter listening room guided by Windsor Knox, who is also the gatekeeper, stage manager, sound tech, executive assistant, rhythm guitar player, and the general dog's body at Roadside Attraction. Debbie DiCasio was our guest artist. We heard from Matt Bianski, Brian Baumgartner, Eric Reif, Don Weinegar, and Marcia Cornwell, the show's version of the Roadside Hobo Band. Windsor Knotts also pleased our ears. Scott Millsop wrote, produced, and edited Roadside Attraction, and he does that amateurish website management as well. He was also Dimmy Jean, and that was chapter 5 of his novel in progress, The Last Summer Ball at the Cosmos. You heard it there at the end with voicing from Matt Bianski, Molly Millsop, and mostly Bill Mooney. Bill was our guest poet. Jeff Ock set up the sound in the room and recorded the show. This guy is great. Thank you, Jeff. The multi-talented Brandon Berry is the video producer, director, camera operator, editor, and YouTube guru. He recently gutted his VCR. Watch where you step. I'm Molly Millsop, voice of the 2,000-pound groundhog, and I'm stocking up on supplies because I don't like the look of things in March 2020. Roadside Attraction is an AHA production.
Yes, it is.